Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time to get green. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser are in the house. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDK.
Yeah, Doug and Jess are here. Plus, we'll be talking trees in just about 30 minutes with the good folks at Davey Trees. Right now, though, if you're the 10th caller, you want a gift certificate from Sorgel, that incredible location in Wexford, right off the exit. All you need to do is be the 10th caller at 412-922-1020. And as always, if you want to talk to Doug and Jess about anything that is gardening, 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com, and Right Automotive, the text line, the best deal in town. Good morning, Doug. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning. Doug Oster from the Tribune Review and EverybodyGardens.com.
And I am horticulturist Jessica Walliser.
We've got Davey Tree coming up a little later, and Jess, you're going to be on the road here coming up, right?
Yes, I will be at Sorgel's, speaking of Sorgel's and the giveaway that we have every Sunday morning. I will be there on Thursday, May 17th at 7 p.m. as part of their education series, and I'm going to be teaching about container gardening, which happens to be the topic of my latest book, Container Gardening Complete. And you can come and hear this lecture. It costs $5 and you do have to pre-register, but you get a $5 coupon to spend at the garden center there. So essentially, it's a free class because you know you're going to buy plants when you're there anyway. So I hope that you will come and see me on May 17th. You can give Sorgel's a call to sign up at 724-935-2090 or visit their website at sorgels.com.
And keeping the Sorgel's train going today,
woo-woo,
at Sorgel's, I did a story about the it's happening today, the 50th anniversary of the Allegheny chapter of the North American Rock Garden Society's Rock Garden Plant Show and Sale today from 9 to 11. There's going to be three presentations, lots of, I think, 100 hardy perennials for sale, lots of cool stuff out of their garden there at the National Aviary, lots of cool stuff. Should stop by there today. Be a cool thing. And yesterday was National Naked Gardening Day.
Did you participate?
I did not. I was a little busy, but I saw lots of pictures online. You know how hip I am with my social media. And I was just thinking, what would be the top 10 reasons not to
participate?
Not to be naked in the garden. And the first one I came up with was raspberries. So let's go back and forth.
Oh, that's a very
Mine
good.
Is raspberries. What would you?
I would say pruning saws.
Poison ivy.
Mosquitoes.
Roses.
Multiflora roses. That's another one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you did say poison ivy.
What else? Stinging nettle.
Well, you know, we could really turn this into a garage.
I got the number one reason.
All right,
your neighbors. That's a good reason. But no, the number one reason is ticks. And they are back again. Mm-hmm. And we would like to implore all gardeners out there, no matter where you live, when you go out to garden or even you go on a hike in the woods or whatever, please do a tick check when you come back in. We were with friends last night. The kids were outside, and one of their little boys had 5 ticks on
him
just after being outside in the woods at their house for a few hours. So the only way to safeguard yourself is, you know, long pants, long sleeves, you know, an insect repellent if you can. Ideally, one I like the ones based on oil of lemon eucalyptus, and then do a tick check every single time that you spend time outdoors. And that is the only way to protect yourself. And these little guys are so tiny. They're the size of a poppy seed. And in fact,
a deer tick.
And they're the ones that transmit Lyme.
Yeah.
And their little boy, the little boy that had all the ticks on him last night, has had Lyme's before. He's only a grade schooler. So, you know, this is something that you have to be incredibly careful of and take very, very seriously. It shouldn't keep you out of the garden, but you do need to keep yourself safe and you do need to check yourself.
Boy, it's nice to see everything greening up.
Oh, amen, isn't it? The leaves are coming out on the trees.
Kind of end of the daffodil season as it got hot there. You know, I get the late ones left. But, oh, it was a great daffodil season. And my peas are got to be, 8 inches tall already.
Great.
And, you know, onions and garlic and greens are out there. It's just wonderful. And the weeds. I saw lots of garlic mustard blooming in my property, so I was pulling that yesterday.
I finally got most of the mulch spread. We taught my son how to drive the tractor yesterday, so he was helping me spread the mulch, and so we almost had that done, and I had a moment of channeling Doug just for a few moments after I had been spreading mulch for hours, and I had one bed left, and it was weedy, and I started to throw the mulch on top of the weeds.
Right, which on
is
top
a
of the weeds.
Big no-no. You need to pull the weeds out first. And I started doing it, and I had to stop myself. I said, no, you're not Doug. You're Jessica. You need to weed the bed first. And so I stopped myself, weeded, and then finished the mulching. But did channel you for a brief moment.
Are you guys this alert, like at your own breakfast table at 7 o'clock in the morning? Like during the week? Are you?
No.
I didn't think so.
No.
Because you're just so energetic when you get here. That's
good.
We're
faking it.
I figured. All right, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to know if you would like to talk to Doug and Jess, because we've got wide open phone lines. All you got to do is call us at 866-391-1020 or Dollar Bank Instant Access, KDKRadio.com, and you can text us on the Right Automotive Line, the best deal in town. Short break, quick messages, sports, Coons Quality Foods, and then we're right to your phone calls with Doug Oster and Jessica Wallace. So this is your Organic Gardeners on KDKA Radio. Good morning.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020, KDKA.
All right, let's say hi to Brad and Clarion. He joins Doug and Jess on the Organic Gardeners, KDKA Radio. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning. Good to hear you guys on the air again. I had a question about a rose bush I have out here. Every year, just so flourishing, got full of roses, and looked like there was no room for another rose on it. Here I was out mowing my yard yesterday and looked over, and there it was about half dead. Well, maybe three-quarters dead. There was only one living branch on it. And so I went out there and trimmed it all down, but there is new growth coming up from the roots. Do you think that thing will flourish again?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough year for roses because
and
we had
lots of things. It was a tough winter.
Including the human beings, right? We had the weird, it would be super cold, and then we had a warm spell, and, you know, probably some sap started flowing in woody plants like that, and then we had another cold spell. So a lot of times you do see more dieback on roses in years when that type of weather pattern occurs. You did the right thing in pruning off anything that hasn't produced buds. Now, by this point, is not going to produce buds, so trimming that off was a good idea. I don't know what type of rose it is, but if it is a grafted rose that was grafted onto a different rootstock, and you're seeing that new growth occur from below the soil line, so shoots are coming up actually out of the ground, you might find that the rose that you have flowering this year is actually different than the rose you had before, because it's
I
the
hope not.
I know, I hope not too, but sometimes
this
with those
scarlet red.
Okay.
Scarlet red rose bush, I call it.
Got you. Well, it'll be interesting to see, because if the whole shoot system has died off, that top stock has died off, and you're getting growth from the root stock, it could be a totally different rose. So it'd be interesting to see. It could be beautiful.
And then
though,
if you have top growth though and the bottom growth, you'll have two different roses.
Sometimes that happens as well, where you have, it looks like you're like, wait a second, why do I have two different things? So it's the world of horticulture always has surprises. How's that?
All right, guys.
Thanks, Brad.
Brad.
Let's take care of some text messages starting to come in a little quickly here. Where is the very first one? Here we go. It says, hey, Rob, how about a grass that develops and grows to about 3 inches mature and lives its natural life without growing any higher? Any thoughts?
That's perfect. Yeah. Plant some of that for me, would you?
Yeah. Well, it exists. So there's a couple of great companies that produce these grasses for lawns, these turf grasses that don't get exceedingly tall, and they're called low-mow mixes, right? So that you don't have to mow them as often. And I would suggest that you go to a couple different websites. There's one called Pearls Premium. Pearl is in, you know, like a pearl. Pearls Premium. And there's another one that what's Miriam Goldberger's wildflower farm called up in Canada?
Miriam Goldberger's wildflower farm.
I'll have to look up the name of this.
In Canada.
But you would want to look up a low mow lawn mix, and you will find the different varieties that are recommended
for
that.
You still have to cut it.
You have to cut it, but you only have to mow them once or twice a year. Like, they're really seriously super easy.
It's no different than I do now, so what's the big deal?
You are your own animal when
here's
it comes to lawn maintenance.
Here's something I think you should really take a hard look at and answer. This is a very good question. This gentleman just sent me a text message and said, ticks weren't as bad when Obama was president.
Oh, no kidding.
But a bang, and I figured you two would like that.
Jeez, this would be the one hour we could avoid politics.
Way to the left. All right, listen, another one. It says, good morning. Last year I planted a southern magnolia, and the cold winter browned some of the leaves. Will it hurt the tree? Anything I could do? This is Jim from Claysville.
Yeah, southern magnolia.
Oh, my gosh.
Not a good idea, unless it's some kind of special variety I don't know about. You know, they're very rare in our area. You know, I think you can count them on one hand how many southern magnolias you have, and people kind of know where they are, and, you know, and no one knows why they survive. Yeah, let's just wait and see how it does.
This was this
tough winter for a southern magnolia.
Yeah, and they're typically not hardy at all this far north. I do think there's a variety, though, that's slightly more hardy, but I think it's only hardy to like zone 6, which is not the minus 20 degrees that we had this past winter. So I think probably you're lucky it survived at all. It's not a great choice for here.
Let's go right back to the busy phone lines. Here's Fran in Harmony. Fran, how you doing? Good morning. Welcome to KDK
Radio.
Good
morning. Thank you. We had them planted 12 arborvitae trees, small ones. They're pretty small, a couple feet high. And that was in the fall. Now, I want to know, they're starting to dry up and die, but I would like to get them all started again. What can we put on them and do to make these arborvitae trees small go again? They're starting to dry up at the bottom.
Yeah, so that's not a good sign when arborvitae start to do that. And since they were planted last fall, did you water them through the remaining part of the fall and the winter and then into early spring when we had dry spells? Were they regularly watered well?
Actually, no, we didn't water them well. We didn't water them because we felt there was enough water coming in. The snow and the rain. We didn't do that.
Yeah, normally when you plant a new plant, especially in the fall like that, you do still have to make sure that you water it. A lot of people think plants, you know, only need water through the summer, but when it's a new specimen like that.
We had a little dry spell there.
We did.
Before the rain started.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's number one. I would, you know, tell you to suggest that if they are starting to brown on the bottom, I'd also think about if you maybe have a male dog that is coming around.
We don't have anybody, nobody, nothing. There's nothing down there.
Okay, because sometimes you see that happen as well. So I think probably it's a combination of transplant shock and poor irrigation or lack of irrigation at planting time and beyond. So usually, really with new plants like that, it's a full year. Sometimes two, depending on the conditions, where you have to.
Should we dig around them, like each one around them, and turn the soil and put the water in like that?
No, you should not disturb the roots in any way, because if it has started to form some small fibrous roots out from that root zone, you don't want to disturb those. I would get a layer of mulch on there, maybe 1-2 inches thick of mulch, and then sure that you water well.
All right. Can I ask one more real quick? There was about 50 Rosa Sharons, big sticks. They were there 70 years taken out. And there's stumps, about 50 stumps the whole way down. Do you have a quick, easy way that's not expensive on making those stumps? We did cut them down close, but they're still real. They're there. The stumps from these trees, Rosa Sharons.
Yeah.
Do you know how to get them down away?
I would rent. I would rent a stump grinder. I think that's since you have so many of them and they're so large, unless you have a way to dig or pull them out, a stump grinder,
which is not going to be quick, fun, or easy for anybody.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't worked one, but I've seen lots of people.
No, I don't mean that. No, I mean, if you had to dig them out.
Oh, no. If you had
get that stump grinder and go to town.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I think it's a super fun opportunity to use a piece of power equipment, and who doesn't love that? So that's what I would do.
Vroom, vroom. All right, ladies and gentlemen, why don't you tell us what you guys are doing here in the minute that we have before the break? Anything coming up with, I know, Jess, you're going on the road.
I am. I'm going to be at Sorgles on May 17th at 7 p.m. talking about container gardening. I'd love to see you there. It's cost $5, but you get a coupon for $5 off of any garden center purchases. And I was just there the other day. They have lots of great plants. So would love to see you there. You can sign up at 724-935-2090.
And love your violets that are in your lawn because mine are looking great.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're right at their peak right now.
I got a bunch in my flower beds.
I got them everywhere.
Pretty.
I love it.
And they are the only larval host food for the for a number of species of fritillary butterflies. So they should be cherished.
Yep.
What else is going on?
Oh, nothing. Just enjoying the garden season, getting out there, doing a little weeding, doing a little bit of planting. You know, my greenhouse is filled with all sorts of great stuff. We've been using this as
including those dandelions?
Yeah.
Doug gave me two flats of plants last week.
Did he?
He did, which was very lovely. And I got them home. And a few days later, I went to go plant them in the garden. And I saw this one green. And I was like, what the heck is this? It looks like some kind of lettuce, but kind of not. And I took the tag out. And it has this little chicken scratch on there. And I sent him a text with the picture of the tag. I said, does this say dandelion? He said, yes, it does. I said, do you want them back?
And I said, no, plant them. They're not like perennial dandelions. They're like a chicory.
Yeah, it's still not going to happen.
Why, though? I don't know why. They're just a green.
I don't like dandelions.
Mm, they're good for you, too.
I'm sorry. I mean, I like them. They're in my lawn, and I love them for the pollinators, and I don't worry about them there, but I don't want them in my vegetable garden.
I remember one year Jessica said that sunflowers are like people smiling at you. Okay?
But it doesn't flower.
Right.
That's the thing. It doesn't flower.
Now I don't go out in my yard because I'm paranoid. I think they're like looking
at me. They're watching you?
Yeah, right.
You're not going to be spreading dandelions, though. It's just a green that won't flower.
You are really like...
He won't give up on that.
I will come to your house and enjoy your dandelion. You make me a lovely dandelion salad.
That brings me to this. To do this quick, but I was talking to the guys from True Value yesterday. No matter how much you do the great, you know, Jonathan Green, which we love, you can't really totally prevent like crabgrass, dandelions, and it's okay. I think sometimes people get caught up. They want it to look like the 18th green at Augusta. I mean, you have to understand Mother Nature is Mother Nature, right?
Dandelions are great for the bees. There's no doubt about that.
We have taught you something after all of these years, Rob.
Listen,
that was music
I'm not another
to
pretty face.
My ears.
Go ahead, finish.
That was music to my ears to hear that, because what we call a quilted lawn, I mean, there is so much to cherish about that, and there is nothing wrong with having clover, with having some creeping Charlie, which the bumblebees love. I mean, this is a mixed habitat. We should not have a monoculture. And it's crazy how obsessive people get about their lawns.
Life is too short.
Yeah.
Indeed, it is. If that's all you have to worry about, come on.
Listen, this is the longest I have let my yard go without the first cut in my 61 years on this earth. I finally have gotten to, I mean, I used to be so just OCD about it. Now it's to the point where I just don't care anymore. It looks good. It's fine. You know,
it's fine.
Somebody's
fine.
The bunnies are enjoying the weeds. Let them enjoy
the bunnies. Love the clover, and they don't eat my plants in my garden because they're too busy with the clover. It's all good.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is 28 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. CBS Radio News. And then more Doug and Jess, and that great gift certificate from the great people at Janoski's, where they open today at 8 o'clock on Route 30 in that great community of Clinton, Pennsylvania. Good morning.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. Biz Radio 1020 KDKA.
All right, before we get to Talking Trees, Todd Shabandi on the Disc of 2 to Pittsburgh Newsline with Doug and Jess. We'll take the 10th caller right now to win a $25 gift certificate from the Janoski family at Janoski's in Clinton. They open every day at 8 and they're there till 7. Need to be the 10th caller, 412-922-1020.
We are talking trees with our expert from Davey Tree. That's Todd Shabandi. We're talking all about solving your tree's most common leaf problems. Todd, how are you this morning?
Hey, good morning, y'all. How are you this morning?
Oh, we're doing good. What's going on out there as far as trees? What's the latest thing that you've been seeing before we start on our standard questions about leaf problems?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, before we start on trees real quick, I just want to say to Rob's point, I actually have plenty of pollinator habitat in my yard, and there's no lack of forage for the bunnies as well. So there's plenty of flowers out there and dandies. So.
Excellent. Good. We're glad you're on board with all that, Todd.
Absolutely. Lots of issues with trees right now. One thing I want to point out, we monitor the growing degree days associated with a growing year. If you're not familiar with that, get an app, find out where we are. Plants, insects, diseases don't go by dates. they go by the amount of growing degree days, and there's a scientific formula behind that.
So one of the questions is, why does my tree only have leaves on one side or just the top this time of the year?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's something we've been seeing a lot of. A lot of trees are behind as far as pushing out foliage. There's a lot of flowers out there, but not a lot of leaves. And further north and east you go, we're in Indiana County earlier this week. Boy, the trees are almost completely devoid of leaves at this point in time.
So what happens if you have a tree that is leafing out, but there's some branches that are not developing any leaves at all? Do we just give it more time, or do we call in the experts right away?
Yeah, call immediately. That would be my suggestion, only because if there's something else going on, maybe there's a root disease-related issue, girdling roots. I know we talk a lot about that. Something, abiotic stress that may be causing some issues with the tree, excessive water runoff into an area, things like white pines. They don't like wet feet. They don't like to be in a wet area. Maybe you have some slope change or something. So certainly it would be worthwhile to call.
And there's some fungal issues too, right? Some sort of like verticillium wilt and things like that that can exhibit as that type of situation as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Verticillium wilt. There's some anthracnose, dogwoods, the red buds. They have some cankering diseases. So it's always better to call. Even if you think it's a silly question, it's always better to call and just say, hey, we're seeing some issues. The tree was in full leaf last year. It's, maybe marginal this year, maybe 50% or less. Definitely give a call. We can do an examination and find out. Maybe the tree's just a little stunted by this year. Last year at this point, we were at 355 growing degree days. This year, only 211. So we're really behind in the season.
Wow. It's a big difference.
Big difference.
What?
It's surprising.
What if tree leaves have bumps, spots, or brown? What can people do?
Yeah, a lot of times it's nothing to be concerned with. There's a lot of insects that will cause some galls if there's little bumps on there. But brown spots, certainly that could be a reason for a quick call to your arborist. Say, hey, I have some brown on the leaves. A lot of times we'll see things like fire blight starting to form or, some anthracnose. There's some brown rot on cherries. First course of action, always, always, always make sure we're watering and fertilizing properly. This time of the year, we don't have to worry too much about water. We have plenty of water in the ground, but certainly fertilization is going to be a big part of that process.
Except with new plantings, which we had talked to somebody earlier about, if it's a new planting from last fall, you still have to make sure that you make sure it gets adequate moisture.
Yeah, great point, yeah. Jess. If you have a watering bag, a gator bag or something of that nature, please leave it on there through the season. Let's get some great deep watering in there. Deep, infrequent waterings, always best.
Are you seeing anything else regionally with the weather as far as the trees are concerned?
Well, I will say the magnolia trees have blossomed and they look fantastic this year. It seems like every year we get hammered with some frost and they don't flower. They're really doing well this year. We have seen some issues with things like verticillium wilt causing some maybe more extensive problems than we've seen in the past. There will be some fungal related issues. It's still early in my opinion. We're still a little early to see some of the real nasty diseases like fire blight pop out. So
yeah, I have a comment here and that may lead to a question, but I've actually been quite worried about baby birds this year because they are hatching now and will be hatching, and there's such little foliage out on the trees. And as you know, all baby birds are fed insects and primarily caterpillars. And one single brood of chickadees requires 9,000 caterpillars to be raised to maturity.
That's
and
amazing.
What happens in a year like this? I always think, like, what happens to those baby birds if their parents can't find adequate forage because the plants are so far behind?
And don't you think that, though, the hatching is behind, too? Or what will it be or not?
Well, a lot of that is also dependent on day length, right? And so the breeding season is day length more so than temperatures.
Yeah.
So they start that instinctual nest building and mating and nest habitat and all that stuff based on day length. So that has me very worried for these birds. And so I think it's important, too, to mention to people that some amount of defoliation on a tree and spotting caterpillars on a tree is not always automatically cause for pesticide application and all that kind of stuff, right? Because
agreed. Yeah, just like having a couple dandies in your lawn, you know, not necessarily a reason to be out there treating it.
Right, and that's something you guys, right, when you call in an expert, you can say, hey, this damage is unacceptable, we're risking the tree, let's do something about it, versus, yeah, you know what, it's not really that big of a deal. I mean, you guys are the professionals that know, right, that can
Absolutely.
Say that.
Absolutely. And the other side of it, what is the threshold for damage that is going to be unacceptable? It depends on the tree. Some trees are more tolerant. Like if you have a crab apple that has, eastern tent caterpillar damage in it, chances are they're going to recover from that. So, you know, if you have mimosa webworm in a honey locust, you know, that may be a little more dramatic, especially if it's over the patio. You know, they're dropping in your mimosa as you're sitting out there drinking. there's an issue there, you know. So we may want to take a look at that and potentially have a protocol in place to have those guys taken care of.
You know, Jess, with your question and comment there about the birds, I wonder, as a tree climber, do you encounter birds or nests or birds that are mad that you're near their nest or anything like
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. There was a property we worked on several years ago where there were red-tail hawks nesting. They don't look for boating from the ground, but when you're 10 feet away from them in a tree when they have hatchlings, that's a little more of a different story. So
they
don't look real happy that you're there.
All right, Todd, as always, thanks so much for coming on with us. For more information about Davy Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to www.davy.com/KDKA. And don't forget, you can always call the experts at Davy Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen, and guess who is back?
It's time for Mrs. Know-It-All. She's a grower, horticulturist, and our own garden goddess, Denise Schreiber. How are you this morning, Denise?
I'm good. So we're talking about magnolias, one of my favorite trees. So I actually have three different types of magnolias growing. One is Magnolia acuminata, and her name is Elizabeth, and I talk about her as if she is a human. She gets these gorgeous, gorgeous yellow flowers in the spring. They have a citrus scent to them because most magnolias don't have any scent to them, but this one actually does. So she's just about done blooming. And then I have a couple of the little girl series, which are more shrub-like, and they have shades of pink and purple. And then I have a southern magnolia. The one I have is Bracken's Brown Beauty. And that and Edith Bogue are actually supposed to be more hardy for us. Now, mine also got a little brown on the one side where it gets a lot of wind. And that's usually the problem. The tree will come back because someone, I guess, texted question about it. And it will come back. If it's a possibility that if he could move it to a more protected area, that would be helpful if it's small enough to be moved. Mine is about 10 years old. It's not going anywhere. But it has survived probably the first couple of years when you put them in. If you're putting in a southern magnolia, I would give it a little protection if you're in a windy spot. But other than that, and they get these beautiful big white flowers on them after the leaves are out, so it kind of looks like a bouquet.
Yeah, and that's amazing that there are some that are hardy here. I mean, the
can make it.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, like you said, there's some that are just there.
Yeah.
You know, there's one in Swissvale that's just, you know, huge and there, and it wasn't anything special, and it just somehow made it.
Just somehow made it. Yeah, that's crazy. I have favorite magnolia, too, in case anybody cares. Mine is Virginia magnolia, and I've got one called Moonglow that is amazing.
Just about to ask.
Yeah, I know you were. I saw the curiosity on your mind, smart
okay,
Alex.
So this is your call. You have two calls.
Yes.
Four text and
yes.
$2 bank. Who goes first?
Oh, my gosh.
I think we better start with text.
Yeah,
because text is so important in our lives.
It's terrible. Green Giant Ibrevedi or Vidi, whatever the heck it is. 3 years old, watered well, fenced, didn't green up like the others, has now turned yellowish brown. Please help.
Bad sign.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, especially when you have a line of them like that.
Flat
and one
line.
Of them, yeah,
yeah.
One of them is not doing well. It's sort of a poor sign that there's something up with that one. And that's just like people, right? Like your immune system. Some times you have a plant that even though it's the exact same cultivar, it doesn't have as good of genetics and it doesn't survive a winter or it ends up with a root issue.
Yeah, anomaly in the soil.
Exactly. And that's a case where since you have an established hedgerow like that, I would call Davy Tree on that one and have one of their arborists come out and take a look and they can run some tests and see if there's...
They come out for free.
A pathogen issue.
Yeah.
You know, have them come out and assess
it. Take a look at it.
All right, one more text and we'll go to the phones. It says light green stuff growing on many, many trees in the area. What is it?
Don't worry about it. It's called lichens. It's natural. No worries. It's not a fungus. It's beautiful.
Yep.
Let's go to Joanne in Whitehall on KDK Radio. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning. I have two questions real quick. Crepe myrtle, when's the best time to prune that?
Once it starts to leaf out, and this is what I do with mine, and it's not leafed out yet. And sometimes it's not till June till mine starts to produce new bud growth. And that's when I do that pruning to prune off. Crepe myrtles bloom on new wood, so you don't have to worry about cutting off the blooms for this year. Wait till it starts to bud up and then cut off whatever is dead and does not have new buds on it.
Okay, the other one real quick. I'm putting mulch around this year because of the deer. I thought I'm not planting anything. When I put it next to perennials and annuals, do you keep it off the roots area like you do with bushes and trees, do you put it right up against it?
You keep it off the stems. Never want the mulch to be touching the stem on anything, stem or trunk, just more along the root zone, but not touching the plant.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. How does your crepe myrtle do?
Mine? Are you talking to me? Mine does good. I mean, I got one of the varieties, and I'm unfortunately don't remember the name of it, but that is technically marginally hardy here. Some years it dies all the way down to the ground, and some years, you know, it only dies back halfway, and I just cut off the dead growth. It blooms beautifully, usually pretty late in the season, but yeah. I mean, it's not something I would normally suggest to people because it is marginally hardy, but I thought I am going to go ahead.
Boy,
somebody gave it to me. I'm going to give it a try.
When they bloom, it's spectacular.
It is.
You guys have some great listeners. Mine just say, you stink. Okay? I mean, you guys, sure, these are good Dollar Bank instant access messages. Harry Lauder, Filbert, whatever the heck that is.
Uh-huh.
20 years that died of Eastern Filbert blight. We bought a red dragon. Look, Jessica's like all
over this one. Heartbreaking. That's heartbreaking.
Blight-resistant filbert to replace it. Can we plant it in the same place without risk of blight?
Oh, that is a really good question. I wouldn't.
Yeah, try and put it somewhere else, man.
Even though it's a resistant cultivar, I would not push it and risk it at all. I would try to choose a new spot at least 10 feet away from where the other Harry Lauder's walking stick was. That's so sad when you have a plant like that, because that is a plant that definitely gets better with age, and you have this really cool, funky, twisted structure and for 20 years, and then to have to take that out, that's sad. But you have a resistant cultivar to replace it,
and
so that is the good news.
Funny thing is, I just got a text from one of our listeners. They say you stink, too.
You know, I'm so glad that your mother still listens to the program. Listen, you know, I couldn't agree more, to be quite honest with you, after today. What a morning it was. I have a redbud seeding growing. They just love the president. Seeding growing among daffodils. A rabbit nipped the top. Is it worth moving it, or should I simply get rid of it?
Oh, it's worth moving it?
Yeah, a little redbud seedling, sure.
Heck yeah. A lot of times they will do just fine, a little rabbit nip off the top, because they will, you know, branch from there, and so then you'll have a branched structure.
Tell them your nickname for redbuds, though.
I have a nickname for a redbud?
You sure do. You call them deadbuds.
Oh, yeah, because a lot of times they do.
Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden.
And a safer place to live.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.